was just inside. You know, on the downtime of these meetings, what goes on around the table just goes on around the table.
We have had a good day. The Lord's been good, and your pastor and his wife are such a blessing and so much fun. I think when I come here, I get more help than I give, and I mean that. But that said, I do want to be a blessing. I want to be a help to you tonight. I love to preach. I never thought I'd ever see the day that I'd ever say that, but that did just come out of my mouth. I love to preach. The Lord called me to do it, and I enjoy it. But there's something else that I love. It's listening to good preaching. So I'm going to get this out of the way and sit down. Amen? If you want to stand as we turn to Exodus chapter 2, stretch your legs. We're going to be sitting for a little bit tonight. And so we'll turn to Exodus chapter number 2, and I want to read a little bit of the passage here with you. We'll read verses 1 through 10, and then the last couple verses in the chapter, and get into the message, and then get out of the way for Brother Peacock. Exodus chapter 2, verse number 1, the Bible says, "And there went a man of the house of Levi, and took to wife a daughter of Levi." Verse 2. "And the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes, and daubed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him, and said, 'This is one of the Hebrews' children.' Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?' And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Go.' And the maid went and called the child's mother, and Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, 'Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages.' And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses. And she said, 'Because I drew him out of the water.'" Now, if you would, please skip down with me to verse number 23. The Bible says, "And it came to pass, in process of time, that the king of Egypt died. And the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them." Let's pray and ask God to speak to our hearts tonight. Father, we love you tonight. Thank you so much for the day that you've given to us, for the good fellowship, for the privilege, the opportunity it is to be here, Lord. What a blessing. And I don't take even a little bit lightly the opportunity to stand here, Lord, and open up the Word of God, the trust that this pastor has given to ask us to preach. And Lord, beyond that, the fact that you've given us the Bible and give me an opportunity to open up your book and try to minister to your people. So Lord, I pray that in this next few minutes you would enable me to be a blessing, that you'd use me, Lord, that you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit, that you'd control me, that you'd flow through me, God, and that maybe you'd just help one person tonight, get them a little farther down the road and make them a little bit more like your son, give them the help that they need. Father, if one person gets help, that'd be a blessing. Pray that maybe even more than that would get helped. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I want to take my thought this evening from verse number 23, reading through my Bible, I like to check out phrases. And a phrase jumped out at me in verse 23. It says this, "And it came to pass in process of time." I got thinking about that, in process of time. So I started looking up that phrase in my Bible, and from what I could find, it appears about 5 times, in process of time. And in 4 of those 5 verses, it says, "And it came to pass." So "it came to pass" is connected to process of time. In one of the passages, the phrase "and it came to pass" appears about 12 verses before. And I got thinking about it, and I said, man, there's something to this. So I'm looking around, and almost every time when I looked at that phrase, something negative is connected to the process of time. The first time it shows up in your Bible is Genesis chapter 4, verse number 3, and it's talking about Cain when he comes to bring his sacrifice to God. That was not the sacrifice God wanted, but the sacrifice Cain wanted to give God, and it was a disobedience against God, which coincides coincidentally with Wednesday night when we talked about Saul. A year he reigned, and in 2 years he reigned, and then Saul all of a sudden starts messing up. So things had been going pretty good. Things obviously had been going pretty good for Cain thus far. So far in Cain's life, he had not done anything that really made God angry. But when Cain brought that sacrifice after some time had passed, that got me thinking. Again, wouldn't argue with you about this, just food for thought. Cain had been bringing sacrifices up till then that pleased God. It's worth considering. So far, Cain had known what he was supposed to do. Doing what he is supposed to do. He was serving God. God was blessing. Things were going well. No problem between Cain and God at all. But in the process of time, something bad wound up happening. Cain brought something he wasn't supposed to bring. Here's the bigger issue. When God got upset with Cain and rejected his offering, Cain got mad. It wasn't even, I don't think necessarily, that Cain made a mistake or Cain sinned against God, disobeyed God. I believe the bigger problem was that Cain reacted wrong when God called him out on what he had done wrong. I got thinking about this thing, and the more I thought about it, the more I got intrigued, because I believe we have the wrong perspective on time. We are very bound by time, aren't we? And we live in an impatient culture. I realize Southerners and Texans are a little more laid back and all that stuff than people up north where we're at. We're wound pretty tight. But you know what I am noticing? I think everybody in the culture of today is getting more and more wound up, more and more tied to time, more and more things going on. We are so busy that we can't even do the practical things in life that we're supposed to be doing. We are very bound by and constrained by time. And that's a funny thing because the Bible says in process of time, there's negative things happening every time it says that. And the first mention was something very negative. Now, I'm not trying to be a killjoy tonight, but can I say this? The longer you serve God, the longer you're married. Just got too personal, didn't it? Now, you have no problem when you first get married. Hello. You see what's wrong in everybody else's marriage, and you are not going to be like that. Just give it a little while, amen? Yeah. Give it a process of time, and we'll see how things really play out. And the process of time is associated with negative things. Now, here's some conventional and worldly wisdom. When I say this phrase, I think everybody in the room is going to know exactly this phrase. You've heard it before. Time heals all wounds. Can I ask you a question? Where's that at in your Bible? I actually got interested about that, so I started researching that phrase, and all I really came across was what psychologists had to say about that. I find that a little bit interesting, so I start looking at that stuff because it entertains me, and I was reading one psychologist and what he had to say about the process of time healing all wounds, and he gave a story about a woman who had lost her father very suddenly. She wasn't expecting it. Her dad passed away. And he had to deal with this woman. He had to help her. And the problem was is that she was not moving past this very negative thing that happened in the process of her life. She was older when it happened. And her dad suddenly passes away unexpectedly. And it impacted her so badly that she truly was changed. She was getting to a point where she couldn't even function anymore because of the sudden loss of her father. She had a fiancé that loved her and had a great thing going. She was a woman full of potential. And her problem with the grief of the loss of her father was beginning to get in the way of her relationship with her fiancé. And this bad thing that happened in the process of time was getting to a point where it was impacting her life and it was changing the course of her future. He said that when talking to her and trying to peel that onion back a little bit and figure out exactly what was going on, that she would find herself in her house folding her towels and refolding her towels almost obsessively and putting them in the closet there and stacking them neatly and pushing them even more. And what she was doing was trying to preoccupy her mind because she was not getting past something bad that had happened to her in the process of time. If you live long enough in a sinful world, bad things are going to happen, and you're going to have opportunities to get hurt, opportunities to get wounded. And the thing about it is that it's not usually that one big thing that hits you and knocks you out of church and knocks you out of serving God. It's commonly the little things that wear on you and wear on you and wear on you and wear on you over a process of time. Time heals all wounds, really? This woman would go into the little help support groups and she would sit down and she was really beginning to struggle because people are in there that had just lost a loved one recently within a few months and they're all talking and she's saying, I, after 5.5 years, am at the same place these people who have a fresh loss in their life are at. She says, something is wrong with me. It was beginning to really mess with her head. She was feeling like she was never going to be able to move on in her life because of a bad thing that had happened to her. And the help group wasn't even helping her. Well, the story goes on, and he was eventually able to help her, but here was the point the psychologist made in the article that I read. He said it is not the process of time that heals all wounds. He said it's what you do with that time. Can I say this, Christian? The process of time may not heal some of your wounds tonight. Actually, wounds can become infected. And the longer that infection goes, the more time that passes with that infection from that wound, the more sick you can become. The root of that cause has got to be found. That wound has got to be healed. The infection has got to be cleaned, and it's got to be cleaned entirely. When my wife was pregnant with our youngest child 7 years ago, a little more than 7 years ago now, she got a kidney infection. We had been out preaching at a singles retreat, and we'd been up late every night and getting up early in the morning and drinking tons and tons of coffee, and I think she got dehydrated. She got a kidney infection. We were on our way home in the van. We were driving, and boy, she was so sick. She wound up going to the hospital. They treated her. They said, oh, you got an infection, a kidney infection. They put her on antibiotics. They sent her home. So you're going to be all right. You know what they didn't do? They didn't treat her enough. They didn't actually get all the way down to the root of the problem and completely heal that wound. And in the process of time, and it didn't take long, the infection came back. And the infection came back so quickly and so aggressively that it spread to her blood. She became septic. I'll never forget sitting in that hospital one night. I could not sleep because she was really in a bad way. The doctors were coming in and talking to us and preparing for us for what they might have to do. And I'll never forget sitting there all night looking at my wife, very, very, very sick. I realize people have been through worse, but this was traumatic for me. And thinking, man, if they'd have just got it right the first time, wouldn't be here right now. The process of time isn't necessarily going to be a good thing. But can I say this? I believe with all my heart that there's a balm of Gilead for a Christian tonight. I believe with all my heart that if we'll do the right things with each and every day that God gives us, like we've already heard about this week, the basics, the simple things. You heard about your distance from Jesus Christ last night. That's a very important thing. If we will do all the basic things, the simple things the right way, if we will make sure that we're walking with God, then in the process of time, God will give us the help that we need. God will address the issues. If we'll just do right, those things that may have hurt you, those things that may be troubling you, like Israel in the end of the chapter, you begin to cry out to God, and God Almighty hears your need and cares about your need, and there's a balm in Gilead, and He's got a way of escape, and He can heal that thing up if you and I will handle things right during the process of time. God's not in a hurry. That is one thing. I'm not all that crazy about, to be perfectly honest with you. All due respect to the Lord, sometimes I think He forgets what time it is. Can I say this? process of time, the devil's going to work on you. He's going to try to make that infection worse. He's going to work that thing in your mind and work that thing in your heart, whatever it may be. It could be a loss. It could be something spiritual. It could be somebody in church you don't particularly care for. Who knows what it is? But in the process of time, the devil's going to try to work that thing to get you dead and out of serving God. And can I say this? In the process of time, God is trying to do a work in your life and in my life. And it's what we do with that process of time that's going to determine the outcome for us. You know what's going to determine the outcome for this church? The process of time. Some things God wants to do, and I got to hurry. Some things God wants to do in the process of time, some things God will do over a process of time, is He'll produce faith in you. Verses 1 through 10, please notice with me. There's a man of the house of Levi, took to him a wife of the daughter of Levi. The woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. When she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. You know what Hebrews 11:23 tells us about her and what she's doing at this time? Hebrews 11 goes to explain what she's actually doing. Because in Exodus 2, God tells you what she did. But in Hebrews 11, God tells you why she did it. There's a big difference. She was doing it for the right reasons. The reason Moses' mother hid Moses, according to Hebrews 11:23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandments. You know what she did? She had faith in God. Moses' mother showed faith in God by having this baby, and at first when she had the baby, the first step for her was, I need to hide this child. So she took a first step of faith by hiding the baby when she had the baby. Let me ask you a question. What would have happened to Moses if she had had the same fear and the same action and reaction as all the rest of the mothers in Israel when they had their little boys? She reacted differently to the situation. She hid her son. Problem, that only worked for a little while. You ever been in a little bit of a bind? Ever had the Lord show up in that bind? Ain't that a blessing? Problem solved. God got us through. This baby was okay. Problem, now things changed. What changed? Mama didn't change. What mama was doing didn't change. Time. With time, that baby grew. And now all of a sudden, she's trying to hush this child. She's trying to keep baby Moses quiet. He's over there wanting to play all rambunctious. He is completely clueless as to the danger he's actually in. And she is obsessed with her baby, wanting to keep her baby safe. So now what does she have to do? She has to do a little bit of separation anxiety. She has to make a little bit of an ark there and put that boy in that ark, and she has to take her hands off of the situation. She's already showed some faith. Now it's time for her to show a little more faith. She has to take that baby out, put that baby in the river, and say, honey, come here. I tried to raise you right. I've taught you to be responsible. Let your baby brother sit out here and watch. Now mama puts the baby in the water. And mama's got to go home because if she sits there, that's going to be a red flag to any of the soldiers going by. And she doesn't want that baby to die. Can you imagine how she felt? Can some of you mothers stop and put yourself in her shoes just for a minute and imagine how that woman had to feel when she put her boy in that river and said, I hope I'm doing the right thing. I hope he don't die. If he dies, I'm going to blame myself. Am I crazy or is that what a mom would think? Boy, if he dies, I hope this is the right decision. You know what she had to have? Faith in God. Hebrews 11 tells you she had the faith, but it's real easy to just read that and not consider what it was she was going through and not consider the fact that that actually applies to you and I tonight. There's a process of time going on. She didn't fear the king's commandment, but her faith was not just faith in God. Think with me for a moment. Sometimes we get so super spiritual We lose contact with reality. She had faith in God, but she also took action. Her faith was in conjunction with some fervency. She didn't just sit back and do nothing for her son because, well, we got to trust God. God gave her that boy. God had plans for that boy. She may not have known exactly what God was going to do with him. That's a real hard thing sometimes, folks, when we're in a bad spot and we got to trust God by faith and make the best decision we can make as scripturally as we can make it and hope we're doing the right thing and say, okay, God, that's yours. I don't know what you're doing here. Folks, if you and I knew everything, it wouldn't take faith, would it? If you've seen him, you're not having faith in him. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And you and I are to live a life of faith. You know what God wants to do in a process of time in your life and in my life? He wants to develop in us faith in him. You realize it does not take patience. It really doesn't take too much faith when things are going great. Brother, when the church is packed, when everybody's walking in agreement one with another, the fellowship is sweet. After service, you know, you're exhausted and they're sitting over there fellowshipping and the kids are running around playing and the ladies are over there laughing and having a great time. It's not real hard to trust God for the outcome. Everything's going great. Praise the Lord. It's not that hard to be patient when souls are getting saved and the building's packed. It's not that difficult to be patient and to have faith in God when all the bills are paid and the doctor says, hey, everything looks great, man. You are the epitome of health. It's not that difficult to be patient and have faith in God in those times. So therefore, in the process of time, if faith and patience and the things of God are going to develop in us, it is necessary to have a situation that you may be uncomfortable with, you may not like, it may hurt a little bit, there may be some insecurity there, but God is going to do something in the process of time as you go through those things if we handle the process of time the right way. This woman's doing the best she can to please God, to do right by her son, to trust the Lord. She doesn't show nothing about Moses' mother strikes me as a woman who's lukewarm, mediocre, whatever, it is what it is, see what happens. God's developing faith in Moses' parents. But that's not all. There's something else I believe God will do in you and I through the process of time. We're going to fast forward here just a little bit. You know the story already. The Pharaoh's daughter comes down there and she's washing herself by the bank, by the river, and she spots the baby. God set that whole thing up so amazingly. His sister runs over. Hey, I think I know somebody that can take care of the baby. Wow, what a setup, man. God was in that one. Baby comes home to mama, and man, here she is. Praise God. Can't believe this one worked out. I thought the worst was going to happen. Look at how great God is. What a blessing. But you know what happens in the process of time? Baby gets taken from mama. Now, again, separation anxiety. I wonder how Moses is doing. Moses goes down into a Pharaoh's house, and I just got to wonder what's going on in mom's mind. I'm sure she's like us. The Bible says Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, right? So he's human, and he thinks probably like some of us would think. Well, what I'd be thinking is, I know I trust God. I believe God. Honey, God, you know, God's going to take care of him. You just got to trust the Lord. There's nothing you can do. Well, I just wonder what's going on. I wonder what's happening. I'm not sure how this is going to pan out. Honey, just trust the Lord. You know, but in your own mind, you're thinking, man, I wonder how he's doing. I hope they ain't messing my boy up. I hope they ain't getting him away from God. You know, God's people, the law, they're doing right. He's down there in Pharaoh's house, right? And what happens? Moses comes out. And he spots something. Look down at verse number 11. It came to pass. See it? In those days when Moses was grown, that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, one of his brethren, and he looked this way and that way. And when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hit him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together, and he said unto them, to him that did the wrong, wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? And he said, who made thee a prince or a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptian? And Moses feared. Notice that. We'll come back to that in a minute. And said, surely this thing is known. Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses, but Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. Now what's going on here? Time has taken place, and actually if you read Acts chapter 7, you find out it's 40 years since the beginning of the chapter. Moses is a full 40 years old at this point. He has arrived into adulthood. And Moses has got a zeal for God. Moses has got just an excitement about the people of God. Something was instilled in him by his mother, by the Holy Spirit of God, to where while he was in Pharaoh's house, he didn't forget completely about Israel. He wants to go out and see how things are going for his people, his bloodline. He goes out there and he sees something going on, and I'm telling you, man, Moses is on fire for God. That ought not be going on. That's wrong. You're not going to treat them that way. And he goes out there, he looks this way, he looks that way. This man had some guts. He had some zeal. He was a real man. He grabs that guy, he kills him, and he buries him. Think with me for a second. He's been raised in Pharaoh's house. The Bible tells us he was learned. He was mighty in two things, mighty in word and deed. He was a 40-year-old man who was very educated, very tough. He kills a soldier, folks. This is a man who's used to keeping slaves in line, bitter men who are sick of being oppressed, and his job is to keep them in line. And if they're not going to stay in line, beat them real good, keep them in line. He wasn't just picking on some little sissy. He took a soldier and he killed him. He is trained in hand-to-hand combat. He is in Pharaoh's house back in that day. They knew how to fight. He feels like he's ready. Moses is thinking, the Bible even explains to us that Moses' thought process is, God's ready to use me now. I've been trained, I've been educated, I got what it takes, I'm young enough to have the energy, but I'm old enough to have learned a little bit of something. When I go out there, Israel is going to see, God's people are going to see that I'm God's man and this is God's time and we're going to do this thing. And you know what God saw? Moses was not ready. You know what Moses needed? A process of time. Quick thought. What was Moses lacking? Most of us, there could be a couple of exceptions, but most of us, particularly me, don't have no way at 40 years old that I have the training that that man had. I do not have the credentials that that man had. Do not have the qualifications that man had. Humanly speaking, the man was lacking nothing. It all made great sense. Israel's getting sick of this mess. Moses is thinking God's people are going to have enough of God in them to recognize the situation and be with me on this. And sure enough, come to find out, Moses isn't even close to ready. Because God needs a process of time to perfect our zeal. Moses was zealous for the Lord. Can I say a lot of Christians are zealous for God? Probably in this room, being here on a Friday night when there's other things you could be doing, I imagine you got a certain level of zeal for God. Moses was zealous for the Lord, but his zeal was misdirected. And the only way Moses was going to figure this thing out was a process of time. God will use time to perfect our zeal. His motive for service was good. My heart's right. I meant the right thing. I really was. I know I made a mistake, but I didn't mean to make that mistake. Moses was not out there being selfish. Moses was willing to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He was choosing to suffer for God. He was choosing to throw his future away to help God's people out. But you know what God saw? You ain't ready yet, son. There's still something lacking. There's still something in you that I need to show you. There's still something you're missing that you need to learn. You know, there's some things, folks, we just can't learn without doing the little things, the basics, staying plugged in for a period of time. At 40 years old, I can't have some things a man has at 60, and I know that. You know why? I'm not 60. At 20 years old, you can't have what a man has at 40. You know why? You're not 40. God is not in a hurry. And that's frustrating when there's pain in your life. Can I say there's some things you and I will never learn without pain? Because pain reveals what we actually are. I don't believe pain builds character. I know some people say that, but I don't believe that. You know what I think it does? I think it reveals character. God allows that stuff, and sometimes it will linger longer than you want it to linger because God is trying to work something in a process of time, and the only reason good things don't come out of that, Romans 8:28 still in the Bible, right? The only reason sometimes we feel like God failed is because we mess up in the process of time, not because God failed to come true on His promise. We handled the process of time wrong. Moses runs out there, tries to deliver Israel. Israel turns on him. You know the story. And Moses decides to take off. What revealed? He didn't have the faith his mama had. He was 40 years old, and he still didn't have the faith his mama had. Raised in Pharaoh's house, still didn't have more educated than his mama, more powerful than his mama, more respected than his mama, still didn't have the faith his mama had. What does God do? The last thing, and I'll get out of the way, I'll make this short. The process of time that is required is the pain of isolation. Moses flees, and you know the story, so I won't belabor the point. He goes down there. The Bible, coincidentally, a well shows up. Pretty interesting study if you ever want to study your Bible. That's a real good one to study. Wells in the Bible. Man's dry, the man's exhausted, the man's wore out. He takes off, and God brings him to a well. Gets a little bit of refreshment. God sets up circumstances and things and time, and God sends him out there, and now the guy who was in Pharaoh's house winds up down here being a shepherd. You know what a shepherd is to the Egyptians, right? It's an abomination. Your character is more tested by how you handle a demotion than by how you handle a promotion. How about a preacher says, you know what, we got some new folks coming along and they're at a point where they need to get involved, and would you mind letting them do what you've been doing for a little while? Could you give them your class? Now your character is going to show. Now the truth is going to be revealed. Well, I've just always done this for God, and this is my job, and I just... You didn't die for it. It ain't your church. It's His church. God gives Moses a demotion at 40. Oh, man, it's time for me to start really building my nest egg. You know, I tell everybody all the time, I said, I spent my 20s making a mess. I spent my 30s digging my way out. I got different plans for my 40s. Amen. It's time to start moving on, and God says, we're backing you way up. You know what Moses needed? 40 more years of what? Isolation. Now, I'm not going to make this point because I got to get out of the way, but can I say this? If you study your Bible, God gets His men alone.
That doesn't mean you drop out of church and stay home with your Bible like many that have talked to me. Well, brother, I just talk to God better out on the boat than I do in church. Oh, so you're disobeying God and you think you're drawing closer. That went over real well. God gets his men alone. Have you ever felt lonely? Have you ever felt like you're the only one dealing with what you're dealing with? That might be God's way of helping you if you'll handle the process of time the right way. You know, Moses knew all this stuff he'd learned in Egypt. He had all this power. He had all these blessings. He had all this great potential. But what he didn't have was that personal relationship with God that he needed yet. And boy, at 80 years old, folks, can I just encourage you a little bit if you're older than me? Because folks in my church all the time, man, I just wish, preacher, I'd have started when I was your age. It's too late for me now. I just wish. Moses was 80. Is that a blessing? There is something that some older folks can offer a church when they're filled with the Spirit of God that younger folks can't offer. You're not useless. That whole isolation thing, and I'll just back up and let the younger people do everything, and that might not be God's will. Moses was 80, and God said, tag, you're it. And he said, you're crazy. Me? God said, you. God, I can't. Yes, you can. You know what he had to realize? He had to realize how weak he actually was. I don't think it ever dawned on him. 40 years of isolation, 40 years of being alone, 40 years of God forgot me, 40 years of the process of time. I'm a failure. Things didn't turn out like I expected. Well, welcome to life in a sinful world. God says, Moses, come here. You ever stop and consider in conclusion? Verse number 23, where we started at the beginning, it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage. And they cried, and their cry came up to God by reason of the bondage. And God remembered their groaning. And God heard their groaning and remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. You ever stop and consider that maybe somewhere along that 40 years of isolation, it wasn't even about Moses anymore. Maybe he did get it. And maybe the reason he was happy to stay there was because he really got it. God, me and you, that's enough. Please don't burden me with all that mess. Let me live my life in peace. I did my time. I'm good now. Maybe he got it. Maybe he'd already learned what God had for him to learn and he was doing great. But Israel wasn't ready. I had to come to the realization of that. I was very frustrated wanting to find out where God wanted me in the ministry. And you know what? I realized at some point, it may not have even been about me anymore, even though I think everything's about me all the time. It may not even been about me. Maybe where I was supposed to go wasn't ready. God had to work on some people. Guy called me, hey, you need to come up here and start a church. I said, you want a church? He said, you need to find a place for us to meet. We'll start the Bible study. I said, you want a church? You find a place to meet. When you got something, I'll come to a Bible study. But if you want a church, find a place to meet and call me. It's a miracle that he did. I talked to him like that. I really did talk to him. It's horrible, I know. But he said, okay. I hung up. He called me within 2 days. Hey, I found a place. You wouldn't believe this, man. It's free, too. Great, now I gotta go. Maybe it's not about you and me. Maybe God's working on somebody else. Maybe God's preparing something else. You know what we got to do, folks? Right. Do right. The basics. Stay plugged in. If you talk to top-level athletes, I'm talking world-class athletes, you know what you'll find? I've had the privilege of becoming friends with one or two of them, and I ask them about it. You know, what gets you where you are? It's amazing. You know what they say? One quote from one guy said this. Three things. Don't ever forget these three things. He said, basics, you're a world class. Basics, distance, timing. Those three things make the difference between a world class athlete and somebody who's a hobbyist. You heard about the distance last night, staying plugged in. Peter followed how? Far off. You know what the Lord has for us tonight? Get close. Stay close. over a long period. The rest of it, whatever you're going through, it'll work itself out. If you're close to God and you don't let the timing even get in your head, because all that matters is if you're close to God and you got Him, you can go through anything for any length of time if He's in it. It's one thing to say, one thing to preach, it's another thing to live. But if God's in it, then over time, wounds will heal. Circumstances will work out. God will do something. And folks, here's the hardest part of this whole message, and I'm done. You may never see it in this life, but this is not the end. God hears our groanings, and He's sending Jesus to get us out of here. And it could be today. Preacher.